Revelation chapter 22, last chapter in the book of Revelation. We've been going through this book, giving a kind of an overview of what's going to be happening in the tribulation time that's going to come after the rapture of the church. I expected a rapture of the church every day now. It might be 20 more years, but I expect it today, because the Bible teaches Christ could come at any day. But when I look at what's going on in our world today, and I heard last night on the news where Israel was bombing Islam some last night or yesterday evening. There's things going on that's not being made public that we don't even know about over there right now, from what we found out last night. So we're living in critical times, and it's getting so that I expect the Lord to come at any time. And I pray, even so come, Lord Jesus. I pray that. Even the Apostle Paul, when he was here, he expected the Lord to come in his lifetime, but he didn't. So we should all be looking for the Lord. But today's message, out of the 22nd chapter, in fact, we're going to begin reading down at verse 11, I think we start our text today. We spoke from the first part of this book last week. We're blessed to know how this world is going to end. This world is going to end as we know it. This plan that God has for this world is coming to a conclusion. And Jesus Christ is going to come back and sit upon the throne in Jerusalem and reign for 1,000 years, and it won't be long before the Antichrist is coming and the tribulation time, as that we've been studying, and all the evil and the wickedness that's in the world will be done away with. And Jesus will rule and reign for 1,000 years in righteousness. And what that means is people will not be allowed to sin outwardly. You can't do anything wrong outwardly. Somebody be there to put a stop to it. Won't that be something? But that's how Christ is going to rule for 1,000 years. People can sin in their hearts, but not outwardly. A sovereign, eternal, holy, loving God has given us his word and what he promises to all those who trust and serve Jesus Christ. Now let's look at what happens to a person who dies lost and one who dies saved. Look in verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust. That means a person that dies unsaved will for eternity remain unsaved. He'll never be changed from being unsaved. This is what John has written here. And notice what he says, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. They'll still be a filthy person forever, forever, forever. Unjust and filthy for eternity. And then the Bible goes on and says, he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. A person that's saved, you'll be saved forever. How you like them crackers? Isn't it wonderful to know when you've been saved, you can't get unsaved? You go to a lot of churches today, you'll get unsaved by the preacher. He'll tell you, you done this and now you need to get saved again. Isn't that something what people preach? What did the Bible just say? He that is righteous, he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. When you get saved, you're saved forever, folks. You can't deny what the Word of God says. You got to go by what the Word of God says, not what somebody says. And when you've been saved, 10 trillion years from now, you'll still be saved. Amen? And so when we die and go to heaven, we don't have to ever worry about we're going to do something and we get lost. Amen? We're going to be saved forever. We're going to be God's children forever. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And we're supposed to live holy. Why? Because we're righteous and we are God's people, who is the holy God. And we're supposed to imitate him in the way we live each day. Those who reject the Savior will forever remain unjust, and those who are filthy will forever remain filthy because they were not cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And only the Lord Jesus Christ's blood can cleanse anyone. That's the reason living good won't cleanse you or save you. That's the reason religion won't save you. Because there's no blood in religion, not the blood of Jesus. So we need to understand salvation is because of the blood of Jesus Christ, who cleanses us from all of our guilt and our sin. And we are made righteous. We didn't become righteous on our own. We are given his righteousness. I go to heaven on his righteousness, not by how I was a goody-goody person or did this or that. We go because of what Christ did, and we believed in him. Get that down in your heart and your mind. And don't you let anybody else alter your view of thinking than what the Word of God says. Because this is so important. It'll give you comfort. It'll give you peace when Satan comes along to tempt you and to try to discourage you. And look at Revelation 22 and verse 12. And Jesus said this, folks. He said, "Behold, I come quickly." Now, John wrote that down, but John wrote down what Jesus said. Now, what would you think if Jesus would have told you in John's day, "I'm coming quickly," and now it's been 2,000 years? Well, he could have come at any time. That's what that means. I'm coming quickly. I'm coming. When he gets ready for Jesus to come, he'll be here like that. He won't toot his horn and say, "I'm going to come and get ready now. 1, 2, 3, here I come." He's not going to do that. No, when it's time for him to come, he's going to be here. Quickly. He tells in another place, in the twinkling of an eye, he'll be here. Yeah. But won't that be something, folks? Think about all the dead people since Adam and Eve out in the cemeteries. And when Jesus comes to raise the dead, and they're just the dust. You couldn't even find the dust or the DNA of them people. But the Bible says in the twinkling of an eye, he's coming and raised the dead. Them people's bodies will be up, their spirits will be from heaven in them, and they'll be gone that fast, faster than that. He's coming quickly. And if you ain't ready, it's too late to get ready. It's too late. You'll be left. He said, "I'll come quickly." And notice what else Jesus said, church. This is Jesus is saying this. It's in red in my Bible. Is it red in your Bible? That's Jesus speaking. He said, "My reward is with me." And when he comes, he's bringing his reward. Hey, he's give you salvation. Now he's going to give you a reward, Junior. Amen? Why? Because you were good enough to serve him, and he appreciates it, and he loves you. Yeah, he's going to bring rewards to us. Now, let me kind of explain that a little bit. When we die, at the rapture of the church, we go to the judgment seat of Christ. Now here, this is the last at the end of when the old earth is melted down and a new heaven and a new earth, and the last people that died and is raised at the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ, see, they'll have to be judged too. So even at the last, he's bringing his rewards for those people too. So everybody get rewarded according to how they serve the Lord. Salvation was free, but if you get a reward, it's because you were faithfully serving him after he saved you. And you want to get a reward. To give to every man, he said, as his work shall be. See, you get a reward qualified by how you serve the Lord. How do you serve the Lord? Were you a good wife? Were you a good husband? Were you good on your job that God gave you in life to make a living? Were you faithful? All of those things. It's not just faithful going to church or faithful giving your tithe. It's the combination of all of our life. How faithfully are we living as a Christian person? You cuss, swear, and all that kind of things outside of church? Use the right kind of language. What about your thought life? What are you thinking all the time? What's on your mind? We'll determine your rewards, church. Just reminding you. Yes, just reminding you. A lot of Christian people don't understand this earth life will determine their position in heaven also. In this life here, people have different positions. Some of us are just poor people. Some people live a step above us. Some live a step above them. Some have super jobs. Some of us had mediocre type jobs. Well, it's going to be the same way in heaven. There's going to be different levels of jobs in heaven, folks. And how high up the ladder you are, this is the only way this old preacher knows how to tell you, how high up the ladder you are in heaven is according to how spiritual you are down here. Living for the Lord. If you want to just be a so-so person down here, I'll go to church when I get ready, or I'll tithe when I get ready, or I'll do this when I get ready as a Christian, that's all right. But when you get to heaven, that's what you'll have. That's what you'll have. You'll be on the low end of the totem pole, but it'll still be heaven at least, amen? It'll be heaven. People today are going to school. They're spending money to get a higher paying job. I want to make more money. I want to be important. People are working by hook and crook to get a better job or a job with authority. I want to tell other people what to do. Yeah, but it seems few believers are really living to get a higher position in heaven. Woo! Think about it. Are you working to get a higher position in heaven? Think about it. And we're not to work because we want a higher position. We're supposed to be wanting to work for the Lord because we love the Lord, folks. You're supposed to be loving the Lord to get a higher position, not to have a higher position. If people were wise and listened to God, God would just bless them now and forever if we just obey and serve him. Look in verses 13 and 14. of Revelation, chapter 22, verses 13 and 14. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. God has always been. Jesus has always been. John says in John chapter 1, Jesus was in the bosom of the Father. The Trinity has always existed, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They've always been. There's never been a time when God was not. And I can't comprehend that, and you can't either. But God will always be. Now, we didn't used to be, except in the mind of God. And I don't know when God had us in his mind, but I reckon from the beginning, I don't know how to determine that, folks. There's some things we can't get hold of. But God has always been. But one day he decided to make a world. First he made the angels, I believe. And then he made a world. Then he made people. Yeah. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I've always been and I'll always be. Now you are going to always be. This is amazing, folks. You and I are always going to be. And because we're Christians, amen? Amen? Amen. We're going to always be. And we're always going to be with him. Y'all understand English? We're going to always be. Now, we live in a world today, we think about we're going to die. Yeah, we're going to die. Maybe. We might not. If the rapture's happened, we wouldn't die. But we're going to always be. Even if you was to die, you'll always be. You just change where you're living at. Amen? Blessed are they that do his commandments. If you live by the Bible, you're going to be blessed, the Lord says in his word. And everybody in this room, if I could read your mind, wants to be blessed. You want to be blessed. You want God to bless you. Everybody wants God to bless them. You want to live for God? That's another question. You want to live for God? You want God to bless you, but do you want to live for God? Oh, blessed are they that do his commandments, his word, live by the word, that they may have a right to the tree of life, may enter in through the gates into the city. Think about being able to walk up to the tree of life and eat some of that 12 different fruits that grows on it, folks, in eternity. I'll bet that'll give you some energy. I bet that picked me up some, amen. Oh, folks, it's going to be something when we get to heaven and be with the Lord. It's just going to be words won't explain how wonderful it's going to be for all of us. Look in verse 15. The Bible says outside of this city, outside of the eternity also, is going to be the dogs. For without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idlers, and whosoever loveth and maketh of lie. Revelation 22:15. It won't be anybody that's unsaved ever in the new heaven and in the new earth or in the new Jerusalem. We won't have anybody come in with a different policy to try to upset everything. We got people today in this world with different policies. Yeah, we want to make the little boys and the little girls think they can be whatever they want to be of a different sex. We got all kind of policies today that's of the devil. We won't have that in heaven, folks. won't have that in eternity. Amen. It's not going to be like that at all. The Bible says in verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Did you know the Bible says you're supposed to go to church? Now, some people say, well, I can stay home and worship the Lord. Yeah, I don't doubt that. But see, there I got amen right there. But the Bible says you're supposed to go to church if unless you're providentially hindered. He said, I've sent mine angels to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. God's people needs to congregate together as a body of believers. I didn't instigate that. Paul the apostle didn't instigate that. God Almighty instigated that. This is his policy. As believers, we're supposed to gather together to worship the Lord, to learn about the Lord, to fellowship together and praise the Lord. This is what the Lord has ordained, not man. And how well we do that will determine our blessings here and for eternity. I can only tell you, folks, I can only tell you what he says in his word. Jesus was signing his name to that right there. Did you know that? He signed his name to his word. He said, I sent mine angel to tell you that, John, to tell it in the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that I come to something that's, it's the last time it's going to ever be. One last time. God gives one last time. You can go all the way back to the book of Genesis and all through this Bible here, all through this Word of God here, you'll find it. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come unto me, trust in the Lord, call on the Lord. Invitation after invitation, invitation after invitation. Come to the Lord. But now we come to the last one. The last invitation. A lot of people get to hear their last invitation and they die lost. They die lost. They heard their last invitation. God's going to give one more in the Word of God. And the Bible says in verse 17, and the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit. Did you know it was the Holy Spirit that invited you to Jesus? It was him working in your heart to get you saved to start with. When you heard the Word of God, the Holy Spirit took the Word of God and began to convict you. If you've ever been saved, he convicted you. You were lost and you needed to be saved. Amen? And you said, Jesus, I want you to forgive me. I want you to save me. I want you to be my Savior. And he saved you. He put your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And here Jesus is saying, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Who's the bride? That's the church. As the church, we're inviting people, come to Jesus. We're giving out the Word of God. Come to Jesus. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God working together, and the church preaching the gospel. Come to Jesus. He says, come and let him that's athirst come. You want to get saved? Come. People used to say, I've heard it many a time growing up, I need to go to church and get saved. I don't hear people ever say that no more. I don't ever hear that anymore. People used to say that when I was growing up. I need to go to church and get saved. I need to go. And the Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will can get saved. Let him take the water of life freely. It's all free, church. Isn't that wonderful? God provided salvation free. You don't have to pay for it. It's already paid for on a cross 2,000 years ago. Our salvation was paid for. He said it's free. Let him take the water of life freely. Talking about salvation. That's what he's talking about. Isn't God good, folks, to give us salvation? And look what it cost God to give it to us. Look what it cost Jesus to give it to us. It's not cheap. Our salvation is not cheap. Our salvation was costly. The Son of God experienced the wrath of God that human words could not describe. How horrible the wrath of God is. The only way we can understand it, and this don't understand it, is to be thrown into the lake of fire to spend eternity. That's how awful the wrath of God is. And only because Jesus was who he was could he endure the wrath of God to pay for sin. Only because he was God. Wow, what a God, folks, that will love us so much. And you look at mankind today, the way man, how evil man is. And all of our hearts are like that. Our hearts are evil. Because they're sinful hearts. Listen to me this morning. Listen to me this morning, please. God is right now inviting murderers, robbers, adulterers, fornicators, liars, homosexuals, dopers, alcoholics, gamblers, and any other sinner that you can think about to come live with him. Did y'all hear what I just said? God's out inviting all these kind of people to come live with him. Forever in paradise. He'll give them a paradise to live in. He's willing to forgive them if they'll trust his son who died upon the cross. I want you to turn in your Bible with me right quick to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is important. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the writings of the Apostle Paul. And this is something else. Paul writing to the church at Corinth, these was baby Christians, and he wrote this to them. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Listen to what he says now. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idlers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. He just went out and gave that long list of what I gave a while ago and said, none of these people can go to God's kingdom. And then notice what he says. And such were some of you. See, Paul said to those Christians there in Corinth, They were all those things that I just said a while ago. Murderers, adulterers, fornicators, thieves, liars, robbers, etc., dopers, drunkards. They were all these things back then, but Paul said, that's what you used to be. What happened? When you get saved, you're no longer in that category. Amen? Isn't it wonderful what God can do for you? He said, and such were some of you, but now you've been washed. You're sanctified. You're set apart. You're justified. You're made now as if you've never been one of those. Amen? In the name of Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. What a Savior that would love us, folks. What a Savior that could do this for us. And how did He do this? By the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's the blood of Jesus that washes us from our sins. And this is what the world needs today. It's what every person needs. It's what every person must have to be saved. Yet most people refuse this free gift of salvation because they love their sin so much. They don't want to give up their sin. And this is sad. Jesus said, then said He unto him, a certain man in Luke chapter 14 in your Bible, if you turn there, Luke 14, beginning at verse 16, then Jesus said to a certain man, made a great supper, and He bade many, and sent His servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they would all with one consent begin to make an excuse. And they said, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Here's a man bought some ground, some land somewhere he had never seen. I don't think most people buy land like that, do they, Brother Chavis? Yeah, this guy bought land he'd never seen, but he had to go see it now rather than go to the supper. Amen. My goodness, think about that now. Another one said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray have me as you. Here's a man had 10 oxens now he had bought. He'd never seen them. Didn't know if they'd work, how well they work. But yeah, he was going to go prove that, check them out before going to the supper. Folks, excuse. And another one said, I just got married. Oh, boy. And therefore, I cannot come. And the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Well, his wife told him not to go, I reckon. Amen. Be at supper. Amen. I tell you what. So a servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house was angry. He made this big supper, expensive meal, and all these people had refused to come and fellowship with him. And this, he said to his servant, go out into the streets now and the lanes of the city and bring in all the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. And the Lord and the servant said, Lord, it's done and thou hast commanded, and there's still room. And the Lord said, well, go out into the highways and compel people to come in that my house might be filled. You see how hard God is working to get people to go to heaven, folks. That's what it's about. And still people don't want to go to heaven. But why? I got to go do this. I got to go over yonder. I got to do that. I just worked hard all week. Excuse as to why they will not serve God. And the Lord is angry. And you know what? The Lord said, at last, well, there wasn't a single one of them eat of my supper. They won't never one of them get a bite of my supper. And you know what that translated means? They'll all die and go to hell. That's what it means. Oh, I tell you, folks, I wish I could tell you how much God loves y'all. He wants you in heaven. Don't let anything keep you out of serving the Lord. The devil will tell you a lie every second. There's something's more important than going to church or reading your Bible at home. Revelation 22, looking at Revelation 22. Let's change the subject a little bit. I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. The book is the Word of God. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the prophecy of this book, God shall take his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and the things which are written in this book. God says, you better not add anything to my word, and you better not take anything from my word. And let me tell you, when it said amen down here at the end of Revelation, that's the end of God's word. And God's not going to add anything else to it. And God has not told any woman nor any man anything else. You hear these people say, well, God told me this. And God hadn't told them nothing. It's all right here, what he said. People are deceived today. And people want people to think, well, I'm so spiritual. I'm up there next to God Almighty. He's talking to me on a regular basis. He ain't. He talks to you through this book. It's his word. It's his final word. They're lying people out there deceiving people. Yeah, we got these apostles, and prophets today. There are no such things. There are people that want people, make people think they're just spiritual than somebody else. They're all liars. Deceivers. We have one ought to go around thinking we're nothing, because that's what we are without Jesus Christ. I'm a nothing without Jesus Christ. Let me add something else here. And James, turn to James right quick. Book of James. It's over there close to Revelation. One little verse, but it's an important verse. James is a down-to-earth book about faith. Without faith, you can't please God. James chapter 3. You got it? My brethren, be not many masters. Don't be many teachers. Don't be many of you teachers. What does he mean by that? Knowing you're going to get or receive the greater condemnation. You and I that's teaching, me and Brother Johnny, for example, Brother Chavis sometime, God's going to hold us to a higher standard than anybody else. Do y'all know that? Better be careful in our teaching. This is a sacred trust to teach. Better not be trying to mislead people. Better be careful in our teaching. Turn to Galatians chapter 1 now. Galatians chapter 1. in Galatians chapter 1. Remember the Judaizers of Paul's day? The Judaizers was people supposedly, some of them were supposed to be Christians, but they wanted to hold on to the Mosaic law also. And Galatians 1:6, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. This one is not but one gospel. What is the gospel? It's about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. There's no other gospel. You can't get saved by any other gospel. And here these Judaizers came in Paul's day and in the apostles' day, and trying to go to the churches and bring in a different so-called gospel. But it wasn't a gospel. It was a perversion. They wanted to add that the people had to be circumcised, or they had to observe some of the holy days of the Mosaic law. No, let me tell y'all something about the Mosaic law. It was important. It's still important in that the Mosaic law shows you what sinners we all are. But we don't live by the Mosaic law, folks. We live by the gospel. And the Mosaic law was actually nailed to the cross of Christ. That was the end of it, as far as us to live by. We don't observe holy days. You know, I know people that's in Protestant churches observe holy days. People in the ecumenical movements type churches. We don't observe holy days. Now, I observe Christmas. That's not a holy day. That's just a day we celebrate Jesus Christ was born among men. We celebrate Easter because he was crucified and rose from the dead. But I don't look at it as a holy day per se. Hey, folks, listen. We live by the gospel. We live by the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what brings salvation and nothing else. Nothing else. I'm thank God. God didn't put on us the burden of the Mosaic law, folks. Amen. Amen. I mean, how many of y'all killed a bull for the Lord lately and offered him up? Amen. How would you like to have to go outside and kill a heifer for the Lord? No, you don't have to do stuff like that. That all ended. No, you put on your Sunday clothes. We come to church after a bath and brushed your teeth and combed your hair. Amen. Put lipstick on your lips, some of you. Amen. And you come in and look pretty. Amen. And worship the Lord. Amen. 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 Praise God for the gospel, Brother Chavis. Yeah. Thank God for the gospel. Thank God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's only one gospel. There's only one salvation. It's by faith in one man, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus is his name. And it's not you and Jesus. It's all Jesus. Turn in your Bible this last scripture. I'm closing. I hate to close. Ephesians chapter 2. Folks, if this verse or verses here isn't underlined in your Bible or marked in your Bible or highlighted in your Bible, make sure you do it today sometime. These verses are that important. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace, you didn't deserve to be saved, neither did I. That's what that means. For by grace are you saved through faith, And that's not of yourselves. Did you get that? It's not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't do anything to get saved. For we are his workmanship. Now that you've been saved, you're supposed to work for the Lord. Amen? Did y'all get that? Write that down. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath therefore ordained that we should walk in them. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. What a Bible verse to live by, because it is the Bible. It's we're saved by faith alone in Jesus Christ and only in him. And he gives us the faith to believe when we hear the gospel. We get the faith to believe when we hear the gospel. What an awesome God. God made it so we could be saved if we'd just listen to the gospel and believe it. You got to believe it. And if you don't believe it, you'll be eternally separated from him. May God bless you. May God bless you. Live out the faith. Live out that faith that he's put in your heart. Live that faith out by loving the Lord, sharing the Lord, and enjoying the Lord. And let me tell you one last thing before we leave this service today. If you're a born-again child of God and you want to live for the Lord, the devil's going to come along and he's going to give you some rough days.
Amen.
I just pre-warn. When you have problems and troubles in your life, the devil's a sneaky rascal. He wants to discourage you. He wants to hurt you. He wants you to throw up your hands and say, I just give up. I can't do it. You can do it. If you depend on him and not yourself. And I know he's going to be on me this week now.
Greater is he
that is in you than he of the world. Thank you, Brother Chavis. I needed that, son. Loving God, thank you for letting me one more time preach your word. Lord, Lord, I know I stumbled and muttered through it all, but glory to God, it's the word. It's thy word, Lord. You have given us a Savior. You have given us salvation. You have promised us an eternal home. And we've been talking about a new heaven and a new earth and eternity with God Almighty and our Savior. And what a future awaits all believers. Bless this congregation. Use us, Lord. Challenge us all, Lord, to just love and serve you. And to thee be the glory. And to thee be the glory, because you deserve the glory. Oh, loving God, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Would you like to come to the altar this morning and just thank the Lord and praise the Lord and call on the Lord and just maybe you got some need you need to mention to the Lord. Oh, listen to him, folks.